Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody told me get over it. It's like water under bridges that have already burned. They say it gets better, it gets easier. The memories start to fade, and sad songs that always play you start to hate. Do you remember the days we used to spend? Memory so strong it keeps me from moving on. If I could go back, I'd take our worst days. And our worst days are better than loneliness. Somebody told me get over it. It's like water under bridges that have already burned. It's like water under bridges that have already burned. Do you remember the days we used to spend? Memory so strong it keeps me from moving on. If I could go back, I'd take our worst days. Even our worst days are better than loneliness. Somebody told me get over it. It's like water under bridges that have already burned. It's like water under bridges that have already burned. It's like water under bridges that have already burned. They say it's like water under bridges that have already burned.
Hello, everyone. This is Carolyn Hall, your host of the CL3 Creative Table. Thanks for listening in tonight. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. One of my favorite artists. That was Gregory Porter, and that song was Water Under Bridges. So many things in that song. We usually try to match the song to the topic or what we want our listeners to walk away from after the topic that we're talking about on the show. And that one, I definitely have some comments. But you're tuning in tonight, again, to the CL3 Creative Table. Welcome for those that are just listening in, and thank you for coming back to those that have been. In this episode, we're going to be talking about learning the keys to emotional freedom, and we're going to be doing this show a little bit different. We have a virtual guest. When we got back to the platform of doing our radio shows, I know in the last episode, I mentioned it, how we wanted to make sure that we were coming back, aligning ourselves, making sure the table talk or what we're doing on air
is aligning itself with what we're doing in real time. And what we're doing in real time is working more with women in business. And it's not reinventing the wheel, knowing how important it is our emotional state of mind is as we do business. I would like to be a little different or a little bit deeper, not even so much different, because I know that there are experts and people and specialists out there talking about it. But I'd love to be at table where you're walking away with tangible, practical, possible habits and practices that you can implement in your life on a daily basis. Because a lot of the self-care and self-work that we bring up, because a happy person is a happy worker, right? We all know that. So when we dive into that self-care, it's so that you can leverage your business. So many people talk about how they want their business to grow. They want to build their business. But the very thing that keeps them from doing that is some of the emotional, mental, spiritual is always in there. If you're not grounded spiritually, nothing is going to work in your life. But when those things are off and it's not an equal balance going on in somebody's life, then obviously you're talking about productivity that's affected. You're talking about relationships that are affected in the personal life and the professional life. So even though we are targeting this audience to be for our women in business and those looking for a creative angle, learning entrepreneur tips with that creative leverage, this is still a very, very, very important topic to me. The emotional freedom. How do we attain emotional freedom? It's really a good one. So this episode, we really wanted to invite those that are looking to change their mindsets, okay? You want to be healthy. You want to have meaningful relationships that are fulfilling to you. You want to release anything that's negative in your space so that you can truly receive the process and embrace it. People are quick to say embrace it, but if you're not dealing with a lot of this personal care that's needed, then you're not going to even know what to embrace, let alone know how to. So we want to help you break negative patterns, make better decisions, whether that's selecting a partner, selecting a career, a job, a client, a project, whatever it is, however it relates to your personal life as well as your professional. But we're talking about just in general, making better decisions. And then we also want you to get some tips on that heartbreak. That heartbreak is no joke. The heartbreak thing is just no joke. And it can really do some damage, but there's also light at the end of the tunnel. And there's too many people that can attest to that, that once they dealt with some of that emotional feeling or the emotions, let's just say that, once they dealt with their emotions, then they were able to get over that heartbreak. So I started mentioning how we're going to do what we wanted to do was make sure that we're staying aligned with what we do. And a big part of what our agency does is we're able to accommodate long-distance clients virtually. We offer services that support that virtual administrative, virtual sales and marketing team, virtual project manager. Consultation definitely can be something that's done virtual. So I wanted to, I reached out to people and asked if they'd be on the show, and when they really want to support and really want to be on the show, but it's just a scheduling conflict, I'm like, hey, let's think out the box and let's maybe either do a pre-recording of an interview if the timing is right, or there's a lot of tutorial videos, audio. There's some way, somehow, I can incorporate a specialist and expert's two cents on a topic that we're going to be talking about at the table, even if they can't be on the call live or even if they can't be. Well, right now I don't have a physical studio anyway for them to come to. You heard me say yet, right? Never know. I haven't thought that far ahead. I'm just excited about the direction the show is going because we've had some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experts, and a few even actually reached out. So that's always a good feeling, knowing that people really are listening. It's never about the number of likes. It's never about the number of people I see that downloaded it. I stay true to myself, and I stay true to the message, and that's how I lead the company, the agency, is to stay true. And right from the beginning, the self-care, self-empowerment, being better people so that we can be better partners, better parents, better coworkers, better clients to others, or that service provider or that one providing the product, be better, be a better neighbor. All of those are so necessary. That's how we make better communities, better neighborhoods that make up the communities, better communities that make up a city, a state. It just goes on. And the global effect is phenomenal. And if you ever thought that it's not real, the impact that you, one little person, can make in this world, don't ever doubt it again. So the virtual guest tonight is Dr. Judith Orloff, MD, and we're calling her our audio guest because she basically was like, you get an article, you know, whatever, what do you need? And I was like, I think I want one of your videos. I was really moved by a lot of her videos, which is always a cool thing. And so I had a hard time just narrowing it down to one, but I hope that you guys will appreciate the one I selected. Again, the topic tonight on the CL3 Creative Table is learning the keys to emotional freedom. So Dr. Orloff is, she's a New York Times best-selling author, and she firmly believes that the power of empathy and intuition can open hearts up and empower many people. She's a psychiatrist, an empath, and is on the UCLA psychiatric clinical faculty. And she synchronizes the pearls of traditional medicine with cutting-edge knowledge of intuition, energy, and spirituality. So the doctor also specializes in treating empaths and highly sensitive people in her private practice, but she has appeared on some really well-known shows that we've all watched. She's been on the Today Show, CNN, Oprah Magazine, the New York Times, we mentioned, and USA Today. She's also spoken at the Google LA, and she is a TEDx talk speaker. But she is the author of The Empath's Survival Guide, which is Life Strategies for Sensitive People. Her new book is called Thriving as an Empath. That offers daily self-care tools for sensitive people, along with its companion, The Empath's Empowerment Journal. I'm a fan of journals, if anybody knows me. Writing down thoughts on paper is medicine. But her other books are Emotional Freedom, The Power of Surrender, Second Sight, Positive Energy, and Guide to Intuitive Healing. You can explore more information, learn all about what Dr. Judith Orloff offers. She's a plethora of information, and I am so grateful and honored to be able to feature her as tonight's audio guest. Now, I want to dive into a little bit because, as I said in the opening, what we're going to do is we're going to have a little bit of talk. I talked and I did a intro into what we're going to be talking about, touched on why it's so important, and this is a discussion, I want to mention, I believe people are having it, but I want to have them more often, consistency, anytime you're trying to change your mindset, patterns, practices, habits, all of that. You have to be consistent. So I want to be that platform. Not only can people revisit a topic of discussion and download it and listen it at any time, they'll constantly want to come to the live table chats because there'll be conversations that are very valuable information that they'll walk away with, and tips and tools and techniques and all that good stuff. But we all crave emotional freedom. You know, and I really pondered, what does emotional freedom look like? Of course, it's different for us all in our own little way, different situations. Well, I don't even want to say in our own little way. Sometimes it's big ways. We all have different emotions because of different situations, environments, upbringing, faith, beliefs, the whole nine yards, training. But no matter what it is a lot of times when you equate emotional freedom, you say, well, you must be hanging on to some emotional baggage or have some negative emotional stuff going on. Thoughts, I shouldn't say stuff, just generalizing it, because it's not. It's thoughts, actions, patterns. So the reason I believe that we all crave emotional freedom is, who wants to live in such a negative space? I don't think there's anybody that really intentionally desires to stay in such an emotional negative state or even have negative energy around them. I'm very, very, very intuitive and sensitive to negative synergy. And I don't operate well in it. Around it, I live in a world with different people. So I'm around it, unfortunately, much more than I'd like to, because you're running into people all the time. But for the most part, I remove myself because I feel it immediately. And then you have to learn how to balance that too, because sometimes you can be wrong, or sometimes what you're feeling may be a reflection of something else and not an individual, not a situation. So you also have to use your capabilities to determine why you're feeling what you feel and the real source. And that goes back to one thing I realized when I was doing this, is I always do a checklist for myself. And at the end of it, I looked and I didn't even realize that I had outlined three main points when it came to this emotional freedom and all the things that I was reading and all the things that I know from my experience of working with people that are looking for development or that one-on-one lifestyle coaching. Number one is, you have to identify. So identifying the source goes well with a lot with what Dr. Orloff speaks a lot about, is how you have to become more conscious of your emotions, she says. She says it takes awareness to release any of the negative emotions. So in order to release, those are my two senses, you have to definitely identify, and I'm sure she'd agree, listening. And I say that confidently because if you too listen to her material, you're going to be confident that she feels the same way, that identifying and becoming aware is one of the first steps that has to take place. The second step I came up with is, we have to resist allowing ourselves to keep going back to those negative spaces. You know, it's so crazy because we feel it, we know. Sometimes people will equate that it's intuition. Sometimes they don't get that that's what it is. But what they will get is that they were feeling some kind of way. I was feeling this, or I was feeling that. Some about that didn't feel right. That's intuition. That's intuition. So we become aware of those feelings, emotions. Something Dr. Orloff said as well in some of her material. I'm not sure where I read it, but it emotions are just energy. They're forces of energy. So what energy that you choose to put yourself around will obviously be reflected in your emotions. So once you're aware of it and you can identify, you can start with wanting to learn how to resist or to stop putting yourself in those same negative zones. Not easy, not easy, but it's a must if you want that emotional freedom. Again, as humans, I believe we crave that peace, that positive energy around us, those positive words of encouragement, the positive people. You feel better. The third thing was how to maintain repelling those negative emotions or those negative situations. Once you become aware and you identify them, you're going to work on resisting putting yourself in those same situations or within that same negative space. But you need reminders. You need daily techniques. And this goes back to, again, Dr. Orloff made a reference to how you have to stop being emotionally dependent on others sometimes. You have to strengthen your inner bonding techniques. And that was me summarizing some of the things that she had said. But definitely daily techniques was high on her list. People have to learn why, the what motivating you, what's triggering you, things of that nature. So where you're getting in touch with yourself, that's going to allow you to resist putting yourself in those some of those same negative environments. The last thing that I wanted, that those were my three. So identifying, becoming aware, resisting putting yourself in those situations, making a conscious effort, and then practices, your daily practices, so that you can, those negative emotions, totally remove them. But on another tip, I wanted to briefly, because I want to play her tape here, and I know it's about 15, 20 minutes, is don't be afraid to get help. When it comes to emotional freedom, there's some things that we're carrying with us that when you're in when you talk about being in a negative space, that's obviously, and I don't want to use the word condescendingly, obviously, because sometimes what's obvious to one is not obvious to another. But it seems like it makes sense that there's negative something that happened. You may have been dealing with trauma, some type of trauma that you're dealing with or dealt with, and you've made it so far, you follow the steps of whatever outreach you did to get help, but yet you still seem to be struggling. You still feel this certain heaviness on you. You still feel this certain unhappiness. That might be a sign, something for you to pay attention to, be aware of, that you need a little bit deeper help. Whether that be reaching out to counselors, psychologists, there's therapists, there's tutorial videos, audios. Hopefully you feel like you've gone on Dr. Orloff's couch. By the time you finish listening to, I felt I was on her couch several videos I listened to her. So I hope you feel that way. But don't be afraid. We live in a society where it's down on people that seek out professional, therapeutic type of professional help. Do what you got to do. If you want to be better, then you got to do what you got to do. And if what you're doing isn't working, then please, I beg you, just reconsider and at least keep yourself open to the possibilities that you might be able to get help somewhere else. So although I want to go ahead and wrap up some of the things that I wanted to just touch on and let you know from me to you why this topic is so important and how I really want to dive more into it, and you're going to hear it more, us talking at this table more about it. I want to say this one last thing, because I'm all about, you know, giving you practical, tangible lessons or suggestions that you can apply. I want to talk about Dr. Orloff had something. I'm looking for the note here where she's saying you have to identify what kind of emotions you have. I guess there, maybe I'm not saying that right. Let me make sure I'm saying that right. Okay, no, this is what she says. Okay, there's four emotional types. So it's important to learn which type you are, because when we talk about what you have to apply, when we say application, that means obviously you have to apply. Oh, I got to stop saying that word. I'm going to work on that, guys, obviously. But you have to apply to fit your own situation. So you need to know what your emotional type is. Then you can learn, I mean, then you can listen for which ones these professionals are suggesting that you apply in your life very quickly. She lists the four emotional types: an intellectual, and this is someone who's very much in their head, analytic, finding solutions. A lot of energy tends to be spent outside of the body because they lack empathy. They can tend to lack empathy because they're so used to being fixer-uppers. So what she was saying, that's what I was overreading my notes here. What she was saying is the intellectual is very much in their head, analytical, and they tend to be out of body, and they can tend to lack empathy for others because there's so much of a fixer-upper. So one of the solutions she suggested, Judith Orloff suggested, is that you find solutions where you are finding where you have to protect your energy. You have to learn how to protect your energy. She was saying with the intellect, I guess in my analogy, in the words, and I did this too fast, I'm reading. I hope I didn't stumble that all up. I hope you got the gist of it. She's saying the type is an intellectual. How do you identify that intellectual type is somebody that is very much in their head. They analyze. They tend to be out of their body. They might lack empathy because they're fixer-uppers. So according to my notes here, it says you have to learn how to protect your energy and find solutions so that you can have active energy, allow active energy into your space. The second is an emotional empath. This person is a sponge, intuitive, open, sensitive, loving, but also a person that can get loaded down with a lot of negative, other people's negative energy because they're a sponge and they absorb. And she was saying that it's important to make sure you're balancing that and not taking on others' pain, their energy. And she talks a lot about empathy, and I totally relate. You have to find your own space. Us empaths really need our space to rejuvenate, refresh, revive, because a lot of that negative energy is felt because we are so sensitive to that energy that it can drain you. And that is a personal progress report for me. I recognized it, I want to say, about a good 7 to 8 years ago. So that's still recent. And I'm 50, so that's still recent. But what I notice is I was doing that even in my practice, my professional practice, because I am such an empath. I do care. The money does not drive me. People, what they need and what I know I contribute and offer and help them change their lives, be happier, get knowledge that they're seeking. There's no dollar amount on that. But it also has the downside effect where I would be drained. I find myself very drained. So on top of the project work alone, emotionally, I would find myself getting drained. So when I recognize it, because I know I started asking myself, why am I so tired? Like, okay, what I did wasn't that, you know, much exertion. This is what I do every day in my sleep, my eyes closed. But then I realized, because you got to identify, once you're aware, you're conscious of it, you got to do your homework, you got to figure it out. I started paying attention that I felt those extra draining feelings, emotions, after I dealt with a client, maybe that shared a personal situation or something's not going right in their business and they're feeling a little bit down and I spend my energy on building them back up, I'm going to do it each and every time and I enjoy it. It brings me pleasure to do that. But at the same time, I have to accept my limitations as a human, and that can be very draining. So the third emotional type, she says, Dr. Orloff says, is a gusher. A gusher is very in touch with their emotions, and they know instantly what they feel. They tend to not keep too much in. So the downside to that can be is sometimes our gushers are drama kings or drama queens. I say kings first because let me tell you, there's a lot of drama kings, and it never ceases to amaze me because it doesn't seem like it fits the male image that I have in my mind. So when I see somebody, a male that's like full of nothing but drama, I've had to step back and say, where is that coming from? Because it seems foreign to me as a rule. But I just went on my own little tangent about the male there. No offense, you kings. But both women and men can become drama queens is the point. So those, again, are emotions. And that's because both men and women are made up of emotions. So that is that one. You have to learn to pause, Dr. Orloff suggests, and try to find solutions. Listen to your intuition. Try to find solutions on your own, she says. So I don't know if those drama queens, without speaking more in depth and asking her, which I look forward to doing one day, you know, that one really intrigued me. The drama, because there's a lot of drama going on in this world. I tell you. Now, the fourth one, I said I'd be quick. The fourth one is the rock. Okay, the rock is that strong one that's there for you. They're solid, they're steady. The downside, she says, Dr. Orloff says, is they tend to be boring and it's hard to express emotions for them. So she was saying it's important for them, the rocks, to ignite their own passions. Learn how to express their feelings on a daily basis, whether it's good, whether it's bad, but just getting in the habit of getting to a space where you're identifying, you're talking about your emotions and you're feeling them, you're being honest about what you feel, then that has a way of letting your guard down. And over time, you're going to have your own passions so that you're not so wrapped up in being there for others, because that too can be draining. Now, I did listen to one interview where Dr. Orloff was actually being interviewed by somebody else, and that host said, well, Judith, I feel I'm a little bit of all of those types, and you very well may be. I'm a little bit of most empath, but I have a few. I have a few of the other ones as well. But she was brought out that's why you have to learn. She says, so the host says, well, how do you identify which one you are? If you're a little bit of all of them, how do you identify which one you really are? And Dr. Orloff said something very brief, concise, and powerful. It touched me. It said, learn, because sometimes we say, okay, I'm going to identify, I want to learn something, I want to be more aware, but sometimes we don't even know what that looks like. But she said, pay close attention to what your basic type is. When you revert, the basic type that you revert to as you're dealing with stress. So in a stressful situation, take note to which emotion out of those four, the intellect, the emotional empath, the gusher, or the rock. When you go through a stressful situation, take note to which one you revert to, because that's the one that's going to be most natural to who you are. More likely, that's where you'll lean to that type of emotion.
And then you can go in, because she's saying the goal is that she wanted to incorporate the best qualities. What you want to do is incorporate the best qualities of the other types into your type. So once you know what you are, look at the good qualities in the other types and start trying to incorporate them in your own. Okay, guys, here we go. I have about, oh, good, it's perfect timing, actually. I wasn't too sure how I was going to do it. That went a little bit longer than I wanted to, but not too bad. I'm on time. So I want to let you guys listen to this beautiful doctor, very knowledgeable. I'm very honored again to have as one of our virtual, our audio radio show guests, Dr. Judith Orloff.
You know, I have a confession to make. I lost control, but in the most wonderful way. Before the sacred hours of seeing patients, before writing, I just put my arms out and danced. My body just moved to Dylan's Sad-Eyed Lady of the Lowlands, spontaneous, joyful movements. No arguing, no resisting, no holding back. I just let go. This is the ecstasy of surrender. Today, your life is going to get better learning about surrender. As a physician and as a woman, this is so important to me. It's what I want the most in my life, to be able to flow with things and not fight and not resist and not hold back and not always overthink things. It's such a joy to be able to flow. Now, what is surrender? In Sanskrit, surrender is samprata, the ability to give yourself wholly to something, to flow like water, to not force things. I'm defining it as the grace of letting go at the right moment, of knowing how to let go when the time is right without torturing yourself with self-doubt or overthinking things. I mean, how many of you overthink? How many of you torture yourself with self-doubt? You know, that's very common. But surrender allows you not to do that. Imagine a life where you're not doing that and you're able to flow more with everything and have more peace in life. You know, that is the great joy of surrender. Now, how surrendered are you? Let me ask you a few questions. Do you recognize that you cannot control everything? How many of you? I hope you do. If you've tried your best with something and you've given a project, let's say, all of your effort, are you able to back off and not torture yourself with self-doubt and just give the project some breathing room? How many of you are able to do that? All right, wonderful. Can you admit that you are not right? Do you have to be right all the time, or can you apologize? Can you compromise? Can you let go of the need to be right? Oh, good. I see one hand. Can you be spontaneous and not have to plan every single thing down to the last detail? Can you enjoy life? Can you stop long enough to let that enjoyment in and absorb it? Now, isn't that what it's all about? Is letting that enjoyment in? And that's the point of surrender. As life goes by so quickly, now you want to take advantage of every single moment. And to do that, you have to be able to let go. Now, what stands in the way of surrender? In my life, I know this well. It's when I want something too much, when I'm overinvested in it, when I really want something a lot, that can clog the circuit. And so when you want something too much, that's a sign you need to just back off a little so you don't get overbearing with it. All right, another thing is anxiety and fear. When you clench, when you get into a fear mode or an anxious mode, that stops you from surrendering. You know, what fascinates me is how hard it is for most of us to surrender. I mean, do you realize how hard it is? But when you think about it, you need to surrender to delight in an orgasm, don't you? If you don't surrender, not much is going to happen. Or a good night's sleep. Every night, you need to surrender when you go to sleep. Otherwise, you'll be tossing and turning all night. Now, you need to surrender with a good belly laugh or a good cry. Now, I love the healing power of tears. When you hold back tears, that's not good for your system. And so surrendering to tears, just letting it flow, or any emotion, such as grief when you experience loss, you know, that is when, you know, you really are flowing with life. And so what I want to say is that we need to bring surrender into other aspects of our life where the downside isn't so obvious, such as hijacking pleasure. Because if something immediately hijacked pleasure for you, you would think twice about it, hopefully. Hopefully. All right. How many types of surrender are there? The three main types. And the most common type is the trial by fire kind of surrender, where everything is going down and you're forced to surrender because everything is so terrible. A bad relationship, your health is going down, and so you need to surrender. And crisis is an amazing opportunity. It's how most people use change. That's what causes people to change, is crisis. Have you ever noticed that in your life? When things really amp up, that's when you change. And crisis is opportunity. It is opportunity. But it's not the only opportunity. Now, another example of surrender, the second type, is learning to surrender anxiety and fear. Now, what if you're in a situation that's totally outside of your control, like flying? I had a patient who had a terrible fear of flying, and she would get on the plane and have an anxiety attack. So the way I worked with her on surrender was to really have her focus on positive thoughts. The great news is that we have control of our minds. Did you know that? We do. We have control of our thoughts. Just because you think something or feel something doesn't mean you need to go in that direction. And so I worked with her on focusing on the positive images in her life. You know, the family, the children, beautiful images of nature, which is so calming, the sunset, a beautiful flower. And so she was focusing on all of this positivity rather than going towards the negative, and this helped her to gain more serenity in her life. And so that's important for you to have some positive images and some things that really move you. You know, for me, the image that moves me and centers me is looking at the night sky and a body of water. It's so beautiful to me seeing the stars in the water that that's very calming. You see, so you have all of this ready for yourself. Now, the third type of surrender, and this is so essential, is accepting what is instead of trying to fit things or people into some preconceived notion of how you think things should be. All right? This isn't always easy because you have your visions of things, you see, and then you have reality. So, you know, you have your choice again with that. I want to emphasize that this is a choice. And surrender means flowing with what is. I learned this early on as a psychiatrist, where I had a patient, Eve, who was 92 years old, and her daughter was dying. When her daughter died, she called me to be by her side in the hospital in Cedar Sinai. And as I was going down the hall, I heard her wailing and screaming. The nurses came up to me, and they were very concerned with her, that she would collapse. She was, you know, little old lady, with very frail, and she was really, really making a lot of noise. And in my psychiatric training at USC and UCLA, I was trained to treat patients at a kind of distance and certainly to never touch them. You know, we're never trained to even put a hand or pat them on the back, you know, keep a safe distance. But the minute I walked into that room, this little lady jumped into my arms and wrapped her body around mine in the fetal position and was wailing and crying, and her tears were all over me. And the newly minted psychiatrist in me was in total shock, but I knew that I had to surrender to that moment because it's what Eve needed. And it's what was right, you see. And so she spent about an hour crying, and then she detached herself from me, basically, and we talked, and then that was the beginning of her grieving process. So I learned how important it is to trust the moment, to be there with people. It might not be what you thought. You know, it might not be what you thought, but it is what it is. So you flow with that and you trust the integrity of that. You know, that's trusting life. No, I'm so passionate about surrender because I learned about it from my mother in terms of how she didn't surrender. At age 70, she was a family practitioner in Beverly Hills, and she decided to take her national board exams. And for those of you who know what this is, it's as intense as the bar exams. It's for lawyers. No, it's so intense. And she felt that she needed to do this in order to keep up with the younger doctors. And at that point, she was about the best healer I've ever met. And she had a huge practice. You know, she had all these patients who loved her. And in fact, when I was a little girl, I used to go on house calls with her. And she even took me to the hospital when she made chicken soup for Mick Jagger when I was a teenager. So I got to meet him. And you can imagine what a thrill that was. And I used to go with her in her pink Cadillac up into the hills of Bel Air. You know, and I would watch her with patience. She would listen with a stethoscope. She had a bag, you know, the old-time family doctor, and she would listen to her patients. She was truly so gifted. But the thing about my mother was that a million people could tell her how wonderful she was, and she would only look at her negative points and her self-doubt. And that's not unlike a lot of people. That you could have so much going for you, but yet a small percentage, you know, somebody says one little thing and you're off and running. And so she took this exam and put herself through so much stress. And 20 years before that, she had been diagnosed with a pretty benign lymphoma. But while she was taking the test, the months she took studying and beating herself up and not feeling she was enough, the cell type changed to a malignant leukemia. And although my mother heroically passed the test, soon after she died. And as she was dying, she said to me that she felt the stress of the test was what caused the cell type to change. And so as her daughter, you know, I was really standing there helpless. There was nothing I could do to intervene. I was there supporting her. But I watched my mother do this, and it was through losing the dearest person to me that I gained a very hard lesson on surrender. Because I too am a workaholic. I too have self-doubts. I can push myself. So I am my mother's daughter. And so I knew in order for me to be happy and free and lead a beautiful life, I needed to surrender. I needed to learn how to do that. And I didn't want to follow in her footsteps in that sense. And so I learned early on what it was like not to surrender, and that, you know, sometimes life gives you some hard lessons. You know, and I hope you all learn from them. You know, we all have hard lessons. I hope you learn from them. And I learned from this, and thus it has spurred my passion in what it means to surrender. Now, if you want to begin to use these surrender techniques in everyday life, it's really very simple. It's not complex. You can start right away. And how can you start? There are a number of techniques that I use in my own life, and I actually get a thrill out of them. You know, I really do, because I can't get this across to you enough. It is so enjoyable to be able to let go. And if you think ecstasy isn't possible, you're wrong. You're wrong, because ecstasy comes in the little things. You know, it's not only the huge triumphs. I know you set huge goals for yourself. I do, too. But don't wait for those huge goals. There's so many things happening every moment that you could surrender to. So the way to start is the next time you drink a glass of water, sacred water. Do you realize how sacred water is on our planet? The next time you drink a glass of sacred water, realize it's sacred for one thing. Now don't take it for granted. And drink it very, very slowly. Every drop. The sensual pleasure drinking water. You know, feeling it. Imagine your shoulders relaxing. Imagine it as an experience of pleasure going down. You're not checking your emails. You're not texting. You're not thinking about the next thing. You're with the water 100%, and you're experiencing it. Just try that. You can do that when you leave here. You can do it immediately. All right, so that's a beautiful, direct, immediate experience of surrender. So just try that. It's not, don't think it's such a little thing. It's a beautiful thing, and it expands to other things. Now, another technique that I love to use in my own life with surrender is letting somebody go in front of you in a very long line. It's so much fun. I can't tell you how much fun it is. I love it because what happens is in lines, people tense up and they get very uptight and they get angry. In fact, one cashier told me at the market that somebody tried to cut in front of a man at the market, and a woman, that man sprayed whipped cream on the person. Because it's called supermarket rage. There's a name for it. But so there's a lot of tension in those lines. So what you want to do is the next time, let's say a mother with kids and, you know, a big shopping cart comes, you want to say, go before me. And then you want to look at the expression on her face. And what you'll notice is that people are so unaccustomed to small acts of kindness or surrendering that they look like you've given them $1 million. They really do. I mean, they're so astounded, and it feels so good, and they say, oh, thank you so much. That's so kind of you, like you're a saint or something, you know, and it's really a small act of kindness. And then what happens, as you'll notice, so I'd like you to try this when you go out into the world, is that the line starts to move faster, the tension breaks because your energy shifts, and then, you know, imagine the domino effect of kindness. Small acts of kindness can change the world. Don't underestimate the little things. They're very, very potent, and I want you to enjoy them because it's so much fun to see how you can shift energy and change the world in the most mundane aspects of life. Now, another surrender, and this is the point of it all, is to surrender to joy. You know, to really make it a point, you know, to not just be in your head solving problems or thinking. No, to surrender to joy, to go outside when you leave here and look at a little bird flying in the sky or a tiny little flower and rejoice in that. We're here on earth. This is life, you know, the beautiful life. You know, smell the night blooming jasmine. Don't just keep walking. Don't be too busy to let happiness in. Don't be. Now, allow all of this to come in, the small things. Now, it's very, very potent. So I hope you can gift yourself with that. I hope you can remember, because the next thing is going to come so quickly, and time will keep moving. But if you remember this, this is the secret to life, the secret to living, if you can slow yourself down enough to do it and quiet that mind. Now, a hero of mine is Gandhi, and he said, if we want peace, we must be the change. We must be the change. And this is so powerful to me because using the techniques of surrender, you can be a pioneer to do things differently. You don't have to do things like everyone else. I mean, that's what's so incredible about the TED conferences and being a pioneer is that you be the one to make the change. Don't wait for that nasty person over there to change. Now, you change your attitude with them. You know, it's up to you in the moment to make the change. And then you can feel empowered by that. If you want to feel a source of power, that's the way to do it. Surrender is, in a way, counterintuitive because it's associated with giving up and giving in and defeat, and I'm presenting it as a more powerful way of being in the world. There are two things that I'm certain of, is that love changes everything, and that as individuals, we have the power to change the world. So, thank you very much.
Okay, guys, this is Carolyn with the CL3 Creative Table. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did when I heard it. Touched a lot in me, and I hope it did for you. Walk away. Surrender to joy. How simple of a statement. But the power behind it is phenomenal. There's lots to enjoy. So start surrendering to feeling that joy. Give it yourself, she said. Quiet your mind. Keep that negative peace. You want that peace? be the change, Gandhi said, huh? All positive thoughts, everything that this table is all about, positive self-talk is so key. You want to build good business? Release those emotional barriers that you set up. Maybe knowingly, unwillingly, doesn't matter how they got there. You do have the power inside of you. Don't let that anxiety, don't let the fear. And one of my biggest sayings, I have a lot of them, but one I constantly say, block out the negative noise. Have a good night, everybody. See you soon.